From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yeah, very good morning, Mike.
We've got some signs of light in the housing market, do you reckon?
Well, is it a green shoot? Is it a glimmer of a green shoot? I'm not sure. But I mean, we got our monthly dose of data on the housing market yesterday. There seems to be all sorts of sources of information about the housing market these days. But I like the REINZ data, and that was the one we got yesterday. Yeah, I think there's a signal here. The market has stabilised, so maybe the sell-off won't be quite as high, you know, from the peak, which was November 21, I think, won't be quite as high as had been, you know, feared. So if we look at the house price index, as opposed to movements in the median price, because it takes away changes in sort of composition of sales out of the picture. If we look at the house price index, housing market value nationwide has dropped 12% in the last 12 months. Those regional divergences are still evident. Auckland's down further than that, 13.9, so almost 14%, but outside of Auckland, 10.7. So the big smoke's getting hit more than other places. If I sort of take the, if I look at the last 3 month figures, so take out some of the monthly volatility, a couple of places have actually gone up, Mike. Rodney District is up 12.3. Dunedin's up 4.9%. Look, overall, the numbers are still lower, but the decline has stalled, and that house price index was in, it was in precipitous decline, Mike, and it's flattened. And you sort of, I think what you've got to say is that the forces acting on the market are not all negative now. The official cash rate, yeah, it's still going up. That pushes floating rates higher, but fixed term mortgage rates, they've at least stopped going up. That's a sort of one of those sort of a positive. But very importantly, migration's really booming. So lots of people coming in, brings with it demand for housing. And what we call the activity metrics, sales, they're still down over 15% year on year. But seasonally adjusted sales look marginally better than they were. So look, it's not strong, Mike. It's miles away from where it was in the boom period. But I think there's enough in this month's data to suggest that the direction of travel is it's worth paying attention to.
I agree. Yep. And as regards direction of travel, food's in the wrong way.
God, absolutely. So no relief on food prices. And of course, as well as it being a fairly fundamental part of staying alive, eating, it's an important component of CPI, of the consumer price inflation calculation. So food price inflation now running at 12.5% year on year, highest we've seen it since 1987. And even that's a dumb number, Mike, because that number was skewed by the introduction of GST. You take that out and you push that, you push the number back to 1985, so your grocery prices up 14, fruit and veg 22.5%, restaurant meals and ready-to-eat up 9%, takeaway coffee going up there, meat, poultry and fish 9.5%, the largest drivers, eggs, potato chips and six-pack yogurt. Look, there's a lot of growing problems in here, Mike, and I think it's been talked about a lot, so you have to assume that that corrects over time. The monthly number 0.5% rise, seasonally adjusted 0.8. I mean, if you do a rough and ready calculation, annualise that, it's less than the current annual number. Look, it could contribute up to 0.5% to the quarterly CPI figure, so it's not boding well for that. We don't get until July. Actually, Mike, interesting point here. In the Aussie budget the other day, they're putting some money towards being able to calculate a monthly CPI.
Exactly.
If they do that, we will be the, and I haven't fact-checked this, we will be the only OEC country in the world to be still doing CPI.
I've been saying that forever. I don't know why we rely on quarterly data when we're complete, because all you end up is saying is it's in the rearview mirror.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right, now the number, the Americans seem to be getting on the right side of this, 2.3. This is the producer price inflation index.
Yeah, very quickly. The Fed has talked to sort of their next moves being data dependent. So inflation figures and employment numbers are really key to watch. Last night you got two. You got initial jobless claims numbers. That's weekly, high frequency. That's the largest, 264,000 initial jobless claims, largest weekly number since October 21. Seems to be a little bit of odds with a strong non-farm payrolls number, but maybe the labour market is cooling. And yes, you're right, producer price inflation, which is a little bit different from consumer price inflation, it's sort of wholesale, 2.3% from April 22, smallest advance in 2 years. Wholesale inflation peaked at almost 12%, so it's come down an awful lot. So maybe it's there.
Exactly. What are the numbers?
The Dow Jones is at 33,211. It's down 319. More ructions in the banking sector, Mike. So it's down almost 1%. S&P 500 is down 16 points, 4121. And the Nasdaq at the moment is, well, let's call it square, 12,309. The FTSE 100 lost 11 points overnight, 7,730. The Nikkei gained small, 2,917. The Shanghai Composite lost small, 3,309. The ASX 200 barely moved yesterday, 7,251. And the NZX 50, we lost 0.83%, down 100 points, 11,887. Kiwi dollar, 0.6294 against the US, 0.9404. So it's quite a bit, we're quite a bit, that's moved quite a lot against the Aussie, 0.5767 against the euro, 0.5032 pounds, 84.61 against the Japanese yen. Gold is trading at $2,014.31. And Brent crude down a little bit more again, $74.89.
Yeah, but an excellent weekend. See you next week. Andrew Kelleher, jmiwealth.co.nz.